And once again, we're here to agree to disagree, the podcast of the Salt Lake Tribune editorial page, editorial board. I'm George Pyle, the editorial page editor.
And I'm Michelle Quist, editorial writer.
And today we're going to talk about what everybody is talking about, or certainly we'll be talking about even more come Monday. Mm-hmm. We're recording this on Thursday the 30th. The president is coming to town.
President Trump.
Welcome, Mr. President. Apparently he's only going to be here. He's not even going to be overnight. He's just going to be here for a few hours.
Right.
He is coming to announce his decision as to what to do with the two big national monuments in Utah, Grand Staircase Escalante, which has been around for something like 20 years.
Since President Clinton.
Since President Clinton announced it standing in Arizona.
Right.
All those years ago.
It's kind of like the pictures of bear's ears that wasn't bear's ears.
Right. And also bear's ears, which was designated by President Obama just a few months ago as he was leaving office. Shortly after he came into office, President Trump said that he wanted these and many other monuments reexamined. The time parameter he set, I mean, it was just expressed as years and months, but it just so happened to start basically with the creation of Grand Staircase Escalante. Mm-hmm. And go through the creation of Bear's Ears. Also, other monuments declared by Presidents Clinton, Bush, and Obama. And this review process that the Secretary of Interior was sent off to complete has been done. Some of the other monuments, it's been announced that most of them aren't going to change,
right,
apparently. But here in Utah, where the political class has always been opposed to these, certainly at this scale, we are led to understand that the 1.9 million acre Grand Staircase Escalante Monument will be reduced by about half to a little less than a million acres and split into three separate monuments.
Mm-hmm.
This is from the reporting from the Washington Post that the Salt Lake Tribune's reporting has been verifying. We've been back and forth on who's leading on getting this information.
Right.
The Post also reports that Bear's Ears will be reduced from the 1.35 million to only about 200,000 acres, redrawn into the Indian Creek National Monument and the Sash Jaw, if I'm pronouncing that right, National Monument, Sash Jaw being Navajo for Bear's Ears. And the environmentalists and the five Indian tribes who were behind the creation of Bear's Ears in the first place are already warming up their lawyers to file suit just as soon as this is announced. The Tribune's editorial position throughout, we've been in favor of the Bear's Ears National Monument. We thought that particularly the five tribes, the Navajo, and those that came with them, had done the groundwork, had gone through the process, had tried to work with the Utah congressional delegation to create something. Representative Rob Bishop and then Jason Chaffetz put together what they called their Public Lands Initiative. They had lots of hearings and maps and circles and arrows and captions on the back. But in our opinion, the opinion of the editorial board, as the process went along, they basically gave veto power to the various county commissions, completely shut out the Indians, put together a bill that was way too, although there was a lot of acres, it was the way it would have been managed, we thought was far too accommodating of the extractive industries. That didn't pass. There are too many congressmen in Detroit and Poughkeepsie who like national monuments and
who don't know what it's like to not own your own land.
And so that was never going to fly.
Yeah.
So President Obama waited till basically the 11th hour, both because sometimes this is something presidents do as they leave office.
Right.
And also to give maximum opportunity for Congress to act. And when they didn't, then he declared the monument as a little bit smaller than what the tribes wanted. But pretty much what they want.
Still very big.
Still very large.
Yeah.
And mostly in the San Juan County Commission and the governor and our congressional delegation were all shocked and appalled.
And against.
And very much against it.
Yeah.
And as they've been against monuments of this size all along.
Well, there aren't that many monuments of this size. And they're in Utah.
Yeah, they're in Utah. It's a public land state. There's lots of land that is owned by the federal government. I mean, the thing that I hope nobody loses sight of is that with the exception of some little inholdings here and there, either by the state or by private property owners, mm-hmm. this is federal land. This is owned by the federal government. They're not taking any land away from any other owner of record and making it federal land or making it a monument or a park or anything else. This all belongs to the United States of America. The question is, you know, how will it be managed?
Right. But the argument from that is mm-hmm. that it is the federal government's land, but they were supposed to give it back to Utah 100 years ago, yeah. and they didn't. So that is why our legislature keeps mm-hmm. the fight up. You know, that's what they were studying, and they spent way too much money hiring the outside firm, honestly, to study and give them this big report and, you know, maybe, you know, consider filing a lawsuit. It was over the fact that the land is still federal land when it was supposed to be given back to the state.
Yeah. Well, see, now that's where we disagree, because I think a plain reading of the Utah Constitution and a plain reading of the Enabling Act that brought Utah into the Union was that Utah said, nope, we claim none of this.
Right.
In return for being a state, in addition to other things Utah did in return for being a state, they said no claim.
Which I'm glad about.
Yes, which we agree on. This is federal land and it will remain federal land. Now, of course, in a lot of cases, especially further east, federal land is like an army base.
Yeah.
You know, a fort, a reserve, a small game preserve
or something.
Yeah,
it's just a different
game out here. It's not the size
game
out here.
Right, right. No, so it is an arguable question. The hope was that a court would decide it someday, mm-hmm. and that still hasn't happened, and so we're still arguing about it.
Right, and I mean, I think I would argue that it is reasonable to say that if the federal government, they could have given it to the state, or they could have sold it, which they did, you know, in Kansas and Nebraska and Indiana and Oklahoma.
Right, right.
And if they sold it, then the state should get a cut. And that's pretty plain. But they didn't sell it.
Right.
So the state never got it.
And
a cut because there wasn't anything to cut.
And what does it mean for Utah that the federal government owns it? You know, my daughter's in debate at West High as a mm-hmm. seventh grader, mm-hmm. and they were debating Bears Ears and mm-hmm. the public lands. And I was going back and forth with her because she's just learning how to, do debate, and it's fun to watch. But, you know, she didn't understand that because the federal government owns this land, mm-hmm. it means private owners don't.
Right.
And so it's not taxed. There's no property tax that's mm-hmm. coming into the state coffers from this huge area of land.
Yeah.
You know, we have the PILF monies, but it just doesn't compensate for mm-hmm. the amount of land that is owned by the federal government.
Right. And that, I mean, I would agree with you there that the payment in lieu of taxes that the federal government rightfully, if not constitutionally, owes the counties and states because it owns land. You can't tax the federal government, but the federal government can choose to give you money if it wants to. That's what payment in lieu of taxes is.
Right.
And clearly, the amount of money that the federal government gives Utah and Nevada and California and Oregon and Idaho in that is not sufficient. It doesn't make up, and even if it shouldn't completely make up, it doesn't come anywhere near making
up what it would have been
for what the tax base would be if that was farmland or pasture land privately owned.
Right.
So, if the federal government wants this land and all those congressmen east of the Mississippi who like to just feel good that all this is here.
See the arches.
If they want to preserve that land, whether it's a park or a wilderness or a monument, they really ought to be better about paying up.
Yeah.
And, you know, with the deferred maintenance in the parks and everything else we're dealing with, then, I could definitely make the argument that you guys want this, you guys claim ownership, you know, toss us a little coin here.
Right.
We're in a little trouble, especially those counties.
Right.
At the same time, though, I mean, if you look at a map, they have those maps of the United States, and they show the relative amount of federally owned land in each state. And you start with Maine, and you go through the Midwest and the Plains, and it's minuscule. It's tiny.
Yeah.
And then you get to Colorado, it starts to get a lot more. And then you get to Utah, Nevada, and Idaho, and it's huge.
Yeah.
And even a lot of California is federally owned land.
A majority of the land.
And, oh, by in far, Utah. Yeah. And Utah is what? It's like 80% or something like that.
Yeah.
I should have looked this up.
In
Nevada, it's... In Nevada, it's comparable. It's a lot.
Yeah.
Of course, part of the thing is that as the settlers came west, and they would homestead land in Nebraska and Kansas and the Dakotas,
mm-hmm.
even as barren as that is, you could make a farm. You could get like the 160 acres, and you could make a go of it.
Right.
Mostly because. At least before the 30s, there was rain and there was aquifers that you could
right.
put wells in, and you could make a go of it. Once you got this side of the Rockies, you know, this is the Great American
Dry.
Desert. And nobody wanted mm-hmm. 160 acres of land.
Mm-hmm.
We couldn't give it away.
Right.
But
the Mormon pioneers wanted it.
The Mormon pioneers wanted it, and we're sitting in the middle of it.
We are.
And speaking
and
as
it's
a,
beautiful.
Speaking as a total non-Mormon, non-anything, Brigham knew how to build a city.
He did.
I mean, this is a beautiful city.
Yeah.
But the population is here. The population is along the Wasatch Front. The population is up and down I-15.
Right.
Southern Utah, you know, basically kind of south of I-70. I mean, I know there's St. George and Cedar City along I-15 on the way
growing.
To Las Vegas. That's growing fast,
yeah.
and just it will. It will continue to. Until they run out of water. But Utah and Nevada are public lands states. And especially here where we have the beauty of Zion and Canyonlands and Arches, that can be played to our advantage.
Yeah.
Not like Boeing factories and vast oil fields and
right.
things like that, economic advantage.
Right.
But you know, we should play on that and exploit that. And
well, and we do. We have the big tourism industry and, mm-hmm. you know, the big campaigns about 5 parks. And, mm-hmm. you know, we've done that. But those jobs are limited. You know, they're very low-paying jobs. And I think that what President Trump will be announcing on Monday, and Secretary Zinke is also mm-hmm. coming as well to Utah, mm-hmm. Is not a, you know, not an abrogation of those monuments, but smaller size that he's gonna reduce the size of the monuments and compared with the size that they are compared to all other monuments mm-hmm. and especially compared to the size of the monuments that were that were being made when the Antiquities Act was you know was created
yeah.
I think they're too big now. I think mm-hmm. I think modern day presidents have been using the Antiquities Act abusing the Antiquities mm-hmm. Act to make these huge land areas that don't need to be as big as they do in order to sufficiently protect what we're trying to protect. Because I agree, we need to protect these things. You know, we need to protect the landmarks and the archaeological sites and, you know, all of the tradition and culture that is down there. But a lot of the 1.9 million acres, it's not miles, right?
Yeah,
it's acres.
Yeah, acres.
I don't think all of that is necessary.
Yeah. Well, and in the case of Grand Staircase, I mean, there wasn't the kind of review that went into Bears Ears. Bears Ears was discussed and cussed
right.
and recussed and everything for years and years in processes, good and bad, open and closed. Grand Staircase was more Bill Clinton showed up one day and said, hey, you know, I need to throw the environmentalists a bone. Let's
you
do
bet.
This. But that was 20 years ago. And since then, people have started businesses, moved there, made investments on the idea that this is a national monument. This is something that attracts outdoor tourism.
Right.
And so now there's an Escalante Chamber of Commerce that is very much in favor of keeping the monument the way it is. They've adapted
right.
to that as the status quo, and they'd like to keep it. And that's why, you know, still I think the official position of the Tribune Editorial Board is that there's no reason to shrink it. As much as you could be critical of its original conception and how it was brought into being, it's been the status quo for a long time. People are used to it. People have adapted to it.
Yeah.
There are businesses, you know, that don't make as much money as a guy who makes airplanes, but they're sustainable, and families can make a living that way. And there, we hear from people who run bed and breakfasts and outfitting and river rafting and things like that. And they're quite happy with the way it is.
And I think those places will still be protected. I think the places that tourists, you know, go to Grand Staircase for will still be part of this, you know, the protected monument area. I guess I'm interested to see what becomes of the land that is deprotected, unprotected?
Yeah. Well, see, it'll still
be calling it.
Right.
It's still federal land. Yeah,
demonumentized. Yeah. At least the next day.
I like that one.
The next day, it'll still be federal land. It'll still be owned by the federal government.
Right.
It'll just be a question of what are the plans for it going forward? Will they allow more drilling than would be allowed?
Right.
Will they allow a coal mine that supposedly was about to go in before the monument, the Escalante Monument, was declared?
Right.
If they put up for bid, hey, anybody want to mine coal here? Will anybody bid? I mean, coal is dying and nobody wants it. Mm-hmm. And the price of oil is down. Nobody wants to drill.
It'll be interesting to see.
And so the question then would become, okay, so it's not a monument. What is it?
Right.
And it will still have to, you know, anything you want to do there will still have to go through environmental review, NEPA,
all those
things.
Yeah, it's still BLM land, right?
And it'll still be BLM land. And the same with Bears Ears. It'll still be federal land, at least at the end of that 24-hour day, it will still be federal land. Of course, the fear is that having taken away monument status, then the next step will be to give it to the state to sell it to private owners, or if not to sell it, then to allow a lot more drilling and grazing and things that the land really can't support.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because in my mind, you know, maybe you could graze some more cattle out there, but it's a desert for crying out loud. And if you were going to raise cattle someplace, is that really the place to do it? There's in Escalante, there may be coal. In Bears Ears, there's not really anything. And there's certainly no oil driller, coal miner folks out there with their trucks revved up, ready to do a Oklahoma land rush on this if it ever becomes available.
There's not a lot of anyone out there. Mm-hmm. And I guess that's my concern, is that nobody before this whole process recognized Bears Ears, or few people recognized Bears Ears as a place to go.
No.
And now with monument status, it's now kind of like we've laid out this welcome mat for them to come and tramp all over, you know, these archaeological sites and the place that we're trying to protect. It's counterintuitive that we want to protect it by drawing more people in.
Yeah. Well, it would have to be controlled, and that is, I mean, whether it's a monument, or whether it's a huge monument or three smaller monuments, the question is, you know, who's going to manage it? Are we going to pay anybody to manage it?
Mm-hmm.
What will really be the say that the Navajo and the other tribes have? They're in the Obama Declaration, it says that the tribes will have a say, but that's a declaration, that's not a statute.
They need greater authority there.
And, I mean, the official tribe said, we're fine with this, but, you know, a future president could take it away in the same sense that Trump may be taking away the monument status.
Right.
So we've argued as an editorial board that a statute specifically laying out, okay, here's what the Navajo, the five tribes, some official designation, some official board,
management
council,
authority,
management representation, to really put it in law would be better.
Right.
To really give them official control over what they want and what is their ancestral home, rather than, you know, another promise from the Great White Father back in Washington, D.C.
Right. I think what will be interesting, because obviously that the minute Trump announces that he's reducing the size of these monuments, a lawsuit will be filed, and it will be interesting to track that lawsuit, the legal challenge, and it will be, you know, it will be brought under the Antiquities Act, saying that the Antiquities Act gives a president the power to designate something, but nowhere in there does it give a president the power to reduce something already designated.
Right. And, yeah, I mean, and that is kind of, apparently when Congress wrote this, it didn't occur to them that somebody, because you would think they would have said either they can or they can't.
Right. Well, and they've been, monuments have been reduced before, but nobody sued over it.
Right. The locals were happy with it, and it was a relatively small change, although some monuments later, by act of Congress, became national parks.
Right.
So
right.
they were preserved, and there wasn't any question that they were preserved, although Congress can undo a national park if
right.
it wants to, but they never have.
Right.
So, and again, it becomes a matter of the management plan.
Yeah.
So even if it isn't a monument, somebody's going to have to put together a plan. Part of the problem is that, you know, the environmentalists and the Indians don't trust this administration, even though Secretary Zinke has shown some glimmers of understanding
mm-hmm.
what the West is, because
yeah.
he's from Montana.
Yeah.
We're still worried about an administration that can't wait to dig up everything
right.
or allow people to dig up everything. More so than when Obama was in. But even then, you know, you would go through a process and you would there would be leasing. And in the Moab area, in the, which is down around Bears Ears, they had what they called a master leasing plan, which a lot of people on both sides of the preservationist and the extractive
mm-hmm.
Industry were seemed to be fairly confident with,
mm-hmm.
is that it you could drill, you could go for oil and gas, which is down around Moab. It mm. is there. There is. It is worth going for, apparently. And there was a big plan about how to do it and how to do it in the least intrusive way.
Mm-hmm.
And now the Trump administration is throwing these things out, apparently just for spite. I can't understand what else is going on there.
Yeah.
So probably the editorial that will be in this Sunday's paper, again, we're recording this Thursday afternoon, is the question to the president as he comes to make these massive reductions in these two monuments is why?
Mm.
Why would you do this? Even if you could argue that they were too big, even if you could argue that we don't have a plan in place, and especially in the case of Escalante, that there really wasn't a public process all those years ago, we don't see what's to be gained by making this change now, unless it's just to spite the tribes.
Mm-hmm.
And after his little performance with the Navajo code talkers the other day, that gains credibility that he doesn't have any respect for Native Americans at all. I mean, standing there in front of a picture of Andrew Jackson talking to Mr. Trail
yeah,
of Tears.
That
I
was
mean, somebody. Somebody, I mean, even if the president doesn't understand that, somebody in the White House, it should be their job
yeah.
to say, not that
right.
picture, please.
Right.
Just, have we got one of but Roosevelt or George Washington or
right.
anybody
anyone
else.
So, and I support, obviously, the editorial position, but on my own, I would say there's more to the story. I would say, you know, the story of human civilization is about the people and the land and how mm-hmm. they relate. How they feed themselves and,
no.
and shelter themselves and how they you know the how they relate to the land and
mm-hmm.
and there's this there's and so it's a local you know you
mm-hmm.
we want local control of
mm-hmm.
where we live and so there's this story of or this constant theme of a foreign power coming in
mm-hmm.
and you know trying to control you by controlling mm-hmm. the land that you
yeah.
live on and I think that's just a deep thread that runs through Utahns.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it runs through a lot of the West, and I understand this kind of this idea. I mean, I've lived in big cities where there was a lot of absentee landlords, where there were
yeah.
a lot of big hunks of downtowns
right.
that had just been left to go decrepit and empty buildings for 20 years
right.
because the New York City company that owned the land
mm-hmm.
didn't care.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one advantage to living in downtown Salt Lake City where the church owns all this land. You can say whatever you want about the church. They're not an absentee landlord.
Right.
They're here and they're watching
they
it.
Wanted
and
they a certain
want
way.
It to look nice.
Right.
So it looks pretty nice. But at the same time, and while the federal government has a responsibility to go with its power, and it, as we said, should be putting more money into payment in lieu of taxes, should be putting more money into the national parks,
mm-hmm.
that land does belong to the United States of America. It belongs to all the American people. It belonged to me when I lived here. It belonged to me when I lived in Kansas. It belongs to my brother in Hiroshima, Japan. It belongs to my brother in Lawrence, Kansas. It belongs to my cousin in Surrey, England. It belongs to my cousin in Arkansas. And it'll belong to me when I retire to Belize because I can't afford to live here anymore.
Well, heck, we should be paying rent to all those people.
Yeah, we should be. We should be. We should be paying payment in lieu of taxes. We should be paying to keep up the national parks. We should be... the responsibilities should go with the rights. And the responsibility should go with the power. But it is land held in common by all of the American people. Manage it better, yes. Consider what the locals want, definitely. But I think there's been a lot of, you know, what the locals want, and what the locals want is based on a total pipe dream of some extractive bonanza down there. I think that's sometimes when the federal government has to stand up a little bit and say, you know, you guys are just not living in the world of reality.
I think the locals just want to be left alone.
Yeah. So, well, I don't doubt that at all, but I don't think that's going to happen.
Not anymore.
That land doesn't belong to them. Well, we will continue to agree to disagree on this and many other things. This weekend, my column will probably be something about the war over journalism, President Trump and his friends trying to convince us that the truth isn't the truth.
Mm-hmm. And I wrote about the December message of just believe, and internalizing that thought to give more credence to men and women who say they've been sexually assaulted. They need to have safe space to at least be able to say it.
Right, and I certainly agree with that. We hope you'll come back next week and listen to us agree to disagree some more.